Why is there far more sleep deprivation in black and brown people in the U.S. than in whites? Science Magazine took a deep dive into research that shows that black and Hispanic people routinely get less than 6 hours sleep, take longer to fall asleep, spend less time in deep sleep. Health officials are calling it sleep inequity, with serious potential consequences like diabetes, dementia, premature death. Earlier this year, the Department of Health and Human Services considered improving sleep disparities as one of the main disease prevention goals of the next decade. Well, one of the scientists behind that move has become an evangelist for more sleep for people of color. Jardin Jean-Louis is now a professor of psychiatry and neurology at the University of Miami. Professor, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
You first noticed this in studies in the late 90s, that non-white men in San Diego slept about an hour less than white men, and you wondered why.
We just were curious that, is it because of socioeconomic factors? Is it because of lifestyle choices? And then the whole idea about health inequities began to play out in terms of high blood pressure, diabetes, and cancer. So we asked ourselves, could it be the same phenomenon is also true in terms of sleep disorders such as insomnia, sleep disordered breathing, and the like? So the work that was done in San Diego showed there's a window of 7 to 8 hours. Below that or above that, you are at significant risk of mortality because of you sleeping too little or you sleeping too much. Anybody really sleeping six or less are at risk. In terms of blacks and brown, folks of Latinx background, about 45% of them are sleeping six or less, which means, therefore, that the risk for cardiometabolic condition as well as early mortality are substantially higher.
Well, why? What's going on? Many scientists and researchers have been looking at this since, and there are reasons for this profound difference in sleep, sometimes 5-6 hours for people of color, as opposed to the 7-8 that are recommended for good health. And some of the answers are many more black and brown people work non-traditional hours, night shifts. There was a 2010 study in Massachusetts, according to Science Magazine, of 340 workers in a healthcare facility that found black and brown people twice as likely to work the night shift. Tell us more about some of the other solid reasons behind a difference in sleep.
So some of the communities in Brooklyn where I used to work, noise is a problem, light pollution is a problem, the temperature fluctuation in those high-rise buildings in Brooklyn, New York are significant problems, lack of access to green spaces is significant problems, and you talked about shift work, which tends out to be more common among African-American men and women. Blacks are not sleeping enough. Also, we find that there are some psychosocial risk factors, racist influences. Stress related to racism is, in fact, a significant predictor of poor sleep. If you're looking at blacks with insomnia, about 62% of that insomnia can be accounted for by exposure to racism. So we really have to do our very best to make sure that black and brown folks do, in fact, sleep an adequate amount to forestall the onset of cardiovascular disease, as well as Alzheimer's dementia.
Well, you said a lot here, and it's a lot to think about. Light pollution in inner cities, or the fact that it's hot, too hot to sleep sometimes. Air pollution can lead to sleep apnea. And then you talk about the stressors. And I was thinking, you know, white people may be stressed out by watching the Ahmaud Arbery trial, for instance. It's hard to imagine if you are black and maybe the mother of a jogger watching this trial of men accused of shooting a black jogger. You're not going to sleep well.
There are no question about that. Of course, all of us to some degree have experienced trouble sleeping because of stressors, death in the family, some kids are not doing well, I got to pay the bills. Those stressors come. So if you happen to be somebody from the white background, because you are not really running a significant deficit, you tend to bounce back much faster. But if you happen to be somebody of the African-American community, or black, if you will, because you already have a 45-minute deficit to begin with, anything can tip you over. And that's where the problem really is. So if you saw what was happening, for instance, about a year and a half ago when George Floyd happened, a lot of black folks were just not sleeping enough. So if you're already sleeping 6 hours or less and you lose another 30 minutes, this could be the tipping point for what might become high blood pressure, diabetes, and difficulty with HIV and cancer management.
Or just getting sick. Your immune system's knocked back. It's down, and you're just going to get cold and not feel good. Look, you...
Yes.
Yep. I said you become an evangelist. You literally went to churches to reach out to the black community. What did you say?
Actually, I have to say I'm not one, even though I've spent hours and hours as a young kid in church. So I understand the lingo, I understand the what people expect to hear and how to get them to be motivated. So for instance, if you relate to certain scriptures of the Bible, like Daniel, for instance, the fellow that the kings will go to interpret the dreams, you tell them, you know what, Daniel would not have been able to get to the dream state unless he was a healthy sleeper. Mm-hmm. So if you are someone for whom you have sleep disorder that does not allow you to get into deep sleep or REM sleep, you would never have been able to dream. There may be messages you are receiving if you believe in those things as a child of God, that indeed, if you're not dreaming, those messages do not come through. So when you speak that language, people tend to be a bit more receptive because that's their land. They're very comfortable with this.
You met people in communities. This is in New York when you moved to New York. And you found that there were misconceptions.
Well, yeah. So if you go to a barbershop or beauty salon and you're talking about the importance of sleep. So if you ask, for instance, gee, how many of you snore? Almost to the last person, they'll raise their hand saying that, yes, they snore. Why? Because in their mind, snoring is in fact a good thing. And of course, we know snoring is just not the case at all. Snoring really is an indication that you're having difficulty breathing. So the effort causes the upper airway to vibrate. So the louder the snore, the more effort you're making to breathe. So when I say that to them, a lot of them are, wait a second, is it what happened to Uncle Bob? For instance, Uncle Bob used to snore and then one day he died in his mm-hmm. sleep. Yeah, if you're having sleep sort of breathing that is not treated, you can in fact have a heart attack or stroke.
Yeah. So you have enlisted volunteers. These are people who are trained. They become certified sleep educators to go out into the community. There's also a website featuring Black people, in this case, talking about sleep. We'll link people up at herenow.org. Why is it important to have people from a community reach out to people in the community about sleep?
The whole idea about mistrust or not trusting the healthcare system, we bypass all of this. So if you have somebody that looks like you, resides in the same community, you know them, you're comfortable with them, you are more likely to listen to them. Years ago, I went to a barbershop. I didn't know any better. Clipboard in my hand, thinking I'm going to ask people questions about sleep apnea. That did not go well because they did not know me. And you need the barber to come in and say, hey, Dr. Jean-Louis is somebody we know. He's doing good work in the community. He's going to ask you a few questions. These are the health champions, barbershop owners, beauty stylist owners, church ministry leaders. These guys have a lot of sway in terms of how people move to the healthcare system, if at all.
Well, and they're the ones likely to know, you know, if they walk up to a young mother and start telling her to sleep, these are the ones likely to know, well, she's actually working two jobs and raising three kids by herself. It might not be that easy. There've got to be other ways to help her, which brings us to the other ways, the tools. There's cognitive therapy. There's working with people. You now have moved from New York to Miami and launched the Translational Sleep and Circadian Sciences Center at the University of Miami. Okay, so maybe ears have perked up here, and maybe there are people who can say, oh, I'm going to add another hour. I didn't know. But for the people who aren't capable of sleep, you know, just they can't sleep, can you give one tip?
You know, we have to be careful about this. There are some people that are naturally short sleepers. You might just be able to get by on 6 hours and nothing bad happens. But if you are, if you realize you're not functioning at your best, that's the point at which you want to begin to ask your doctors, I really need help with my sleep. If it's insomnia, we can treat that with cognitive behavior therapy. If it's sleep disordered breathing, we can treat that with positive airway pressure.
Yeah. So in other words, if you are doing great, don't worry about it. But if you have hypertension, problems with your pancreas, you're obese or have developed type 2 diabetes, look at sleep.
If also you happen to be someone who has difficulty with cold, you're catching colds all the time. It may be you're not sleeping enough because we know if you sleep an adequate amount, you are less likely to develop a cold or the flu. Similarly, people who are sleeping an adequate amount seem to have to do much better when they take the COVID vaccine now, for instance. So sleep an adequate amount boosts your immune function, which makes it easier for you to function on a daily basis.
That's Jardin Jean-Louis, professor of psychiatry and neurology at the University of Miami. Jardin, professor, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.